It was after a gospel meeting some time ago when one of the nobility in England stepped into a private circle of friends, and one of his friends said, "You promised you would tell us about your son who died in Africa." And the nobleman related the following incident. "Our boy was the darling of his mother and his father's favorite child. We could not help but love him. But he left us and went to South Africa. When he left, he was unsaved, and this was our chief sorrow. He had not been long in Africa when we received a letter saying, 'My dear father, you will be sorry to hear that I have met with an accident. I am unable to write much. The doctor hopes that in a day or two I shall be better. I will let you know in a day or two if I am able.' I read it with a heavy heart and scarcely dared to hand it to his mother. 'Oh,' I said, 'if there had only been in one such expression as, by God's providence, or if he had just written, if the Lord will.' But there was no recognition of God, and we grieved lest our son should die in that unsaved condition in which he left home. Time rolled on. Another letter came. The postmark was the same, but the handwriting was different. It turned out to be written by the doctor, and the substance of the letter was as follows: 'You will be grieved to hear that your son died by an accident to which he referred in his last letter. He lingered but a few days. He suffered greatly.' When I read that letter, I took it away with me and laid it down before the Lord, and I cried, 'Oh, if only my son had known the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The greatest grief that could come to us is the fact that he passed into eternity without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ.' Brokenhearted, I took it to God, and afterward told it to his mother. But there was not a word about God in the letter, and it was bringing my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. I felt as if I should never lift my head again. A few weeks again elapsed when a third letter was brought. This time I knew the handwriting. I opened it with trembling and glanced it over and saw the character of the letter and read as follows: 'You will grieve to learn of the death of your son.' The moment I heard of his illness, I went to his bedside, where I found him in deep anxiety about his soul. He was suffering under a sense of guilt and of a consciousness of his need of being saved. I had the privilege of telling him the gospel story. I told him the very same thing that he heard in his home, how that Christ loved him, went to Calvary's cross and died for him. And I asked him if he would not trust the Lord Jesus as his Savior. I am very happy to tell you that your son realized his need. He realized that for many days he had brought grief to your heart. And he said, 'I should have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ during my boyhood days when first I heard the gospel. But I turned down the loving entreaty of the Savior. But even though I am far from home and a very, very sick man, I want to trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I do believe he died for my sins. I want to receive him as my Lord and Savior, and I want you to write my father and tell him that I have trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I know that my father and mother will be very happy when they hear that I have at last come to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior.'" You may say, that's a rather sad story. And yet, it is not near as sad as a similar story that we find in the Old Testament. You may remember the sudden death of David's son Absalom. The story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 18. During the time that David was king over Israel, his handsome son Absalom decided to lead a rebellion, and immediately he gained a substantial following. The rebels grew in number until it became a very serious matter. Finally, it led to a battle in Mount Ephraim, in which some 20,000 lost their lives. Among the slain was the leader of the rebellion, David's own son, Absalom. He was certainly a wonderful son in the respect that he was handsome and a tall son, and David loved him. But this was an occasion for mixed emotions. David might have rejoiced in the fact that the rebel forces are subdued, but that was not the case. David breaks forth in uncontrollable sorrow. The closing verse of 2 Samuel 18 reads as follows, "And the king, that is David, was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." Then in the fourth verse of the 19th chapter we read, "But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son." We may raise the question, why all this grief and sorrow? Absalom was a serious troublemaker. From the natural point of view, he was better dead than alive. Evidently, it was not the ties of nature that caused David's sorrow, but rather the fact that David had no assurance that his son Absalom had gone to heaven. David was grieved because one of his own sons had slipped out into a lost eternity. There was no third letter, as in the case of the English nobleman, that brought relief and turned the sorrow into joy. Perhaps I should ask my radio listeners this searching question. If you passed out into eternity, would your father or mother have any assurance that they would ever meet you again? Would they eventually get a third letter stating that you trusted Christ for salvation? If you have a desire to hurt your parents as much as you possibly can, you can do it in no better way than to live and die without being saved. Many of my listeners can say, I know that my parents are concerned about my lost condition. I am sure that they are praying for my salvation daily. You dare not say that you love your parents if you deliberately cause them the greatest possible sorrow. If the English nobleman had not received the third letter stating that his son had trusted Christ for salvation, he would have been the saddest nobleman on earth. But that's not the only reason you should be saved. That's just one among many. The Bible is clear regarding the fact that when unsaved people go out into a lost eternity, that there is conscious punishment, weeping and wailing, remorse, darkness, torment, regret, and worst of all, no possible chance of recovery. Prayers will not be heard. Mercy will not be shown. Love will be unknown. Another chance will not be granted. Lost and doomed, not for 10 years, not for 100 years, not for 1,000 years, but lost for all eternity. If this horrible experience will ever be yours, there will be no one to blame but yourself. Christ loves you. He died for you. He is willing to save you if you will in simple faith confess that you are a lost, guilty sinner, and put your faith in Christ who bore your sins in his own body on the cross. Your sins demand eternal death, but your substitute willingly paid your sin debt. And all who will claim him as Lord and Savior will that very moment receive eternal life, and there will follow a new life with new power, controlled by new desires, which are pleasing to the Lord.